2 years ago, Cumulus Media, of which WABC Radio is a proud part of, was in freefall like many media companies. But since my next guest took the reins, morale and ratings, among many other things, have increased. How did she turn this media giant around? And what are the lessons that we can all learn from this remarkable journey? And joining me now is Mary Berner, the president and CEO of Cumulus Media. Mary, great to have you here.
Great to be here.
You know, I see you so many times in the hallways when you're here because you are traveling like crazy. And we are so happy to have you here at Cumulus. I can just say I have seen in the time you've been here just a huge transformation. What actually drew you to come to Cumulus back in 2015?
Back in 2015, we're going on 2 years now. I served on the board for a couple months, for about 6 months. And so as such, I knew what the issues of the company were and I knew its potential. And so when I was asked to step in, it was kind of a no-brainer. It was a great company and it had some issues that were easily solvable from my perspective.
And you have solved many of them, I can tell you. And just even the morale, which we'll get to later, too, because that's been a huge improvement, I think, here. For people who are listening, and we have so many loyal listeners of 77 WABC, give everyone a sense of how big the company is, because they go, okay, wow, this is such a big station, but it's one piece of a big puzzle.
Yes, it is. We reach 245 million people each week. And we have almost 500 radio stations. We operate in 90 markets across the country. We have 8,000 broadcast radio affiliates. So it's a big company. We partner to some of the biggest and largest brands in sports and entertainment, the NFL, the Olympics, the Grammys, to name a few. So we are the second largest radio company in the United States.
It is voluminous. I mean,
yes.
And I have to ask you, how many frequent flyer miles do you have?
Because I have a lot of frequent flyer miles. Having visited all 90 markets, I've got a lot of those.
I'm sure you do. And a lot of good stories, too. You have won a lot of different awards. And your background, just for people listening too, of course, with the magazine company, you were CEO of that, of MPA. That's the Association of Magazine Media. You look at also Reader's Digest, CEO of Reader's Digest. You came with a great background. But yet, it was unique to see a woman at the helm of a big radio company back in 2015. Did you realize what a big deal it was?
You know, to be honest, I didn't. Radio is considerably behind most media, traditional media, with regard to women in leadership positions. When I last ran a magazine company, three of the five largest companies were run by women. So to me, that was just kind of a non-event. So I was surprised when I got here what a big deal it was. I was also surprised in my first meeting. I walked into a conference room and I was to meet my direct reports, and it was a room full of 17 white men, which was unusual in my experience. So we've starting to address that. We're attracting a lot more women, mostly because it's not only the right thing to do, but it's good business.
Absolutely. And also diversity, too.
Diversity, yeah.
What was your reaction when you walked into the room with the 17 white guys?
Well, they're all really good guys, but it was kind of stunning. I hadn't been in that kind of a situation in years and years and years. You know, media in general, especially magazine media, had long ago diversified, both in gender and racial diversity. And it really benefited the industry to some extent. Ditto on the digital media, which I worked in as well. So it was kind of surprising. But, you know, again, they were all terrific gentlemen, but we needed to diversify.
Bravo. And everybody, we are talking to Mary Berner, the president and CEO of Cumulus Media. You talk about, and you describe this also in the article that you wrote. It's a great article. It's in chiefexecutive.net. Everybody to take a look at the article. You talk about the free fall that Cumulus was in 2015. And a lot of it was also just the radio industry, the revenue decline, listenership. Talk about the climate at that moment.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's interesting. The radio industry, one of the things that was surprising to me is the radio industry is actually quite robust relative to other traditional media. So the thing that surprised me was how incredibly undermarketed radio was. Cumulus, however, was underperforming the market, the radio market and the market in general. When I say free fall, I mean pretty much every metric that mattered was going down and had been going down for many years. For example, radio listenership of our stations was going down. Not this station, I'll have you know, but our stations in general. Four straight years of revenue declines, three straight years of profit declines. We had had lousy systems, crumbling infrastructure, including many end-of-life systems that basically endangered our ability to get stuff done, including staying on the air in some stations. So it was just a company that was kind of spiraling down.
one of the things I think that epitomizes that you brought up infrastructure right there. You get a call, and I laughed when I saw this, but it probably was horrifying at the time, that there was, what, a snake falling down from the ceiling, a rotting ceiling of one market. Luckily, not here.
Yes. No, not here. Not here. Yeah, you know, it was literally a tale of two cities. We had lavish offices and perks in our corporate headquarters down in Atlanta. But as I visited the markets, as I said, we have 90 markets. You know, snakes were not, that was not unusual. And what that was there had been a storm and the ceiling was already rotting. So when the ceiling caved in the office, out with it came a bunch of snakes. I mean, literally when I got the call, I almost fell off my chair. And they said, it's really creepy. I said, no kidding.
Yeah.
You know, it's a sort of like a bad horror movie. But that was just the beginning of it. You know, I visited a market that the day before a lamppost had fallen over on somebody's car. I walked into offices where there was mold on the walls and visible mold. And so just all sorts of just lousy kind of working conditions. So we had to address that right away.
And boy, have you. One of the things, and I love this motto that you have, you say that positive culture is the breakfast of champions. And you talked about the sort of tale of two cities. You believe very much this mantra needs to come from the top down.
Mm-hmm. There is a Ralph Waldo Emerson quote that I think is just totally nails it, which is that your actions speak so loudly, I can't hear what you're saying. And that is especially true when you lead a company. You know, my feeling is every employee should be held responsible for walking the talk of whatever the cultural values are. For our company, it's being focused, it's being responsible, it's being collaborative, and it's empowerment. So those are our values. So every employee has to be responsible for walking the talk. But I guarantee you that doesn't happen unless every leader leads by example. So yes, it has to start with the top. And my feeling is that those who don't embody the cultural attributes should be shown to the door, even if they are otherwise performing. And that's something that I had to do early on. I fired one culture crusher who was, as we call them, who was otherwise performing. But it sent a message that we meant business about how we were going to behave and value our employees. So yes, you have to walk the talk. It absolutely does start at the top.
I talked a bit before about your background. You have such an impressive background, the CEO of Reader's Digest Association, also president and CEO of MPA, which is the Association of Magazine Media. You had a lot of other things in your background. I saw you started selling advertising years ago in Boston, which is great. What did you feel sort of equipped you for this moment as a professional to come in and take charge of this?
You know, I like fixing things, and then I've had a history of fixing businesses, and especially businesses that have really strong core assets, which Cumulus does. We have this station, we have many, many great stations, if not all of them are really strong. So the problems were more, as I said, cultural. So to me, that was something I've done again and again and again in my history. And I learned how to do it basically because it's just so obvious. You know, the asset you have are your employees. And if your employees are engaged, then what's going to happen is you're going to have better performance. And a lot of people forget that. And that was forgotten here for a long time. So to me, it just seemed the solutions were obvious. And I'd done it before, essentially.
You turn to your culture fix playbook. I love that. Mm-hmm. And you have six strategies that you developed and successfully implemented, as I have seen firsthand even here. What are those strategies in a nutshell?
There's six strategies. You have to define it, decide where you are and what kind of culture you are. And in our case, it was not good. We made a list of adjectives on a board and said, whoa, you know, unfocused, uncollaborative, not empowered. And then you make a list of what you need to be to execute your agenda. So that's the first thing. You define it. Second, you plan it. What you do is you can't just will it or wish it to happen. You need a plan. You need milestones. You need deliverables. You need to follow up on it every single week, every single day. So that's two. Three, you've got to communicate it. Every single employee needs to know five things: where we are, where we're going, why it matters, what's my role, and what's in it for me. And as importantly in the communication, every leader needs a pipeline directly to employees. First thing I did was set up an email address so that any employee from anywhere around the country could email me directly with any feedback. And the key to that isn't just to set it up and have other people read it. I read them all personally and I respond to them all personally. And people have learned that because, you know, they can pretty much say anything with no repercussions, I get really good information. Nothing beats showing up under the communication strategy. As I said, I've visited almost all of our 90 markets. I've met with almost every employee. And the point there is that I'm able to hear what they think. And then I summarize those and we are able to act on them. The fourth is to amplify it. And by amplify, what I mean is you have to keep on taking visible actions that reinforce what it is you want to do. So for us, it was, we're going to show our employees that they matter. We have almost 6,000 employees across the company. Without them and without their engagement, the company wasn't going to turn around. So amplification would be, we gave a merit increase, so a raises. And we did it by selling the private plane. So we did it very visibly saying, you know, what matters is you, and that's where we're putting our resources. The fifth is live it. And essentially, that's, you know, what I just said, is that you can't say you want to be a certain kind of culture and then tolerate people who aren't that. So regardless of whether or not someone's performing, if someone's not collaborative in this company, they're not going to be working for us. And so we're very, very rigorous about living it. And finally, it's refresh it. Culture change and culture initiatives can get stale. So find what's working. Continually focus on what it is you need to continue to do to push the kind of culture you want to do. So that's what we did.
And everybody, we are talking to Mary Berner, the president and CEO of Cumulus Media. And I think setting those goals and making them very clear. And the other thing, which you didn't mention, which we also love, anniversaries. You let us know, okay, here's your employee anniversary here. You send out an email that comes from you.
Well, that was an that was one of our amplify. Actually, that was probably live it. And that's because we're saying our employees matter. Well, if they matter, then we need to thank them. We are now doing something we added to that under the category of refresh it. We knew that people appreciated that. So now every new employee gets an email or a call from somebody in senior leadership, usually a call. You know, that's a lot of calls, but it's totally worth it because it sets the tone from the first day somebody joins this company.
I was about to say, between the leaders and you, that's like a lot.
It's a lot of calls.
But it makes a big difference.
It sure does.
And I can tell you, when I got the email saying, oh, happy anniversary, it makes us all know that you care, that you're listening, that you appreciate it. So I can even say firsthand, I think it's such a beautiful thing and it's inspiring. The results have been obviously transformative through the company. And I think some of the numbers and some of the things that you talked about in this great article with Chief Executive, you talked about the turnaround number. The reduction of turnaround has been dramatic, and also the increase in ratings growth and revenue growth.
Yeah, I mean, across the board, this is a company that we needed to first stabilize before we could grow. And what we've done is, through executing these culture initiatives, we've stabilized the company. We've turned a corner. When I got here, the average number of turnover, so people leaving the company, was close to 50%. So 3,000 people walking out the door every year. We're down to less than 24%.
That's an amazing change.
And that's, you know, combined with 91% of our employees say that they are proud to work at the company and plan to be here for the next 12 months. So that's really important. That's the beginning of really the financial turnaround.
What are some of the most surprising things that you learned about the business and also about yourself personally on this journey?
Well, you know, as I said in the beginning, I was stunned at how strong traditional radio is. I mean, you'd think from what you read that radio is on the downswing, and it actually isn't. There's a fascinating disconnect between the perceptions of advertisers and agencies and the reality of radio listening. So, give an example. When asked to estimate the percentage of Americans who are reached weekly by AM/FM radio, agencies and advertisers, they estimate, what do you think?
What is it?
They say 62%. You know what the reality is? 93% of Americans listen to radio
each
week.
Wow.
It has a greater reach.
I was going to say 80, so I was getting there.
And here's a chew on this. It has a greater reach than TV, than Facebook, than Google, or than Twitter.
Wow.
So to me, that was stunning.
Yeah.
You know, and we have to do a much better job of promoting radio. Personally, it's really how much I care personally for the employees about winning, you know, and that comes from meeting so many of them.
What is your advice to employers and also to employees? Because I think your message obviously transcends even the radio business, which, and I'm so happy to hear that the number is 93%. That's great.
Mm-hmm. You know, I'd say to business leaders, culture is the single biggest driver of performance or lack of performance, bar none. Lots and lots of good businesses go under because the cultures are not strong cultures. It isn't something that can be delegated to an HR department. It is not something that can be delegated to a consultant. So even if you have a great culture, reassess it at least once a year. To employees, I would say demand accountability from your leaders because you are the asset.
Well, and it also goes back because you have to have a good leader who inspires you. You talked about all the positive feedback. We're so proud to work here at Cumulus Media. We have seen an incredible change since you've been here, not just in the numbers, but also so much in the morale of this place. And it's been terrific to have you. And I think everybody go to chiefexecutive.net. You can see the story by Mary Berner and look at the culture fix playbook, which I like, which applies not just to radio, but really well beyond. It's great to have you here.
Great to be here. Thanks so much. Appreciate it.
And by the way, everyone, that was Mary Berner's first ever radio interview. How great to have her here on this show.
Welcome to Mafia, a new podcast telling stories of America's criminal underworld.
Gotti assumed the position of head of the Gambino family.
And using the name Donnie Brasco, I was able to infiltrate the Bonanno crime family in New York City.
Bugsy Siegel is an American mob legend.
One man changed the whole texture and landscape of crime in America.
Listen to Mafia every Wednesday on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your favorite shows.